The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. What a dark year it has been in Australia. Just two Sundays ago, what should have been a joyful celebration of the Jewish Festival of Lights became one of the darkest moments in recent memory. Not just for the Jewish Australians, but also for Australians as a whole. What should have been a week of singing turned into an outpouring of grief, confusion, and anger. And that is only one of the many challenges we are facing today. Seen from one angle, there seems to be no hope in this present darkness. These days, it feels like darkness is louder, darkness is more organized, darkness is more confident. While light looks weak, fragile, and easily dismissed, even branded as the enemy of society. Is evil winning? Is there hope in this dark world? Well, brothers and sisters, I don't believe that evil is winning or even will win at the end, because the light shines in the darkness and the darkness has not overcome it. And I truly believe if we grasp the truth of Christmas, that Jesus is that light, not only can we be sure that evil won't have the final say, but we can know how to live in a world of darkness. So what is this darkness? It's easy to talk about darkness when it shows up on the news or our social media feed. Crime, corruption, violence, and in many ways, the Bible does speak of public evil and injustices that people commit against each other. Christianity does not minimize evil and suffering, whether they happen in public or in private, whether they are committed by a certain religion, including those who profess to be Christians, global corporations, group of criminals, or individuals such as you and I. In John's vocabulary, the word darkness is an active force that opposes God. Everything that we think, everything we say and do, whether as individuals or as a collective, that goes against who God is and what He demands of us, that is part of the same darkness. Now, we might not do it by murdering people in public, but we do it by killing their reputation in private. We might not use weapons that can cut or kill, but we do it through our words intended for maximum pain or harm. Someone posted on Facebook the other day, the difference between your opinion and bacon is that I only ask for bacon. We've done this to others and have had others done it to us. The Apostle Paul, writing in one of his letters, says, "You were once darkness." Not very flattering, isn't it? He's describing our default heart orientation. And it is for a world dark as ours, for a people dark like us, Jesus came. The late fantasy author, one of my favorites, J.R.R. Tolkien, who obviously wrote The Hobbit and The Lord of the Rings, years before he published The Hobbit and Lord of the Rings, he wrote a poem titled Noel, and he sided with those N-O-E-L camp, okay? Not going to read the whole poem, just part of it. The world was blind, and the boughs were bent. All ways and paths were wild. Then the veil of cloud apart was rent, and here was born a child. In other words, in a world that is dark, Tolkien says, a sudden light broke in through the birth of a child. Up until high school, I grew up in Indonesia, which, as most of you know, is one of the largest Muslim populations in the world. I grew up in an era that there is the 80s and the 90s, where people were more brazen to conduct violence against Christians and churches. Things thankfully have improved in the last 15 to 20 years, but back then, there was a period where churches in my hometown would have rocks thrown at, and in some cases, torch, often around Christmas of all days. And I still remember when I was about 16 to 17 years old, wanting to join some of the older members of the church to go on site to protect the building. Now, For obvious safety reasons, my family was strongly against it. But that's not how Jesus rolled. He didn't stay safe in the comfort of heavenly realm, giving some tips on how to behave and feel spiritual, hoping some of the faithful might join him when they die. No, Jesus came near. He was born into our world. He entered our flesh and blood. He shared our flesh and blood. He entered into the enemy zone, as it were. If you think about it, at one point in your life, you were the youngest and weakest person in history. Think about it. At one point, when you were born, you were the youngest and weakest person that ever existed. Think about it. At one point, the infinitely powerful, the ageless creator, the king of the universe, became like you and me. Tiny, frail, weak, dependent, utterly vulnerable. Yet this tiny child is the light that shone in the darkness. If you're into superheroes, the superhero Green Lantern can create anything from his imagination through an alien ring. He has an oath that he and his fellow Green Lantern Corps must say. It goes like this. In brightest day, in blackest night, no evil shall escape my sight. Let those who worship evil smite, beware my power, Green Lantern's light. Those are our superheroes with their finely toned muscles, as you can see, special suits, limitless cash, some of them anyway, alien powers. Now, why do people create them? Why they even made billions of dollars out of their movies and comic books and games? Well, because it resonates with our longing for a hero to save us from our blackest night, from the evil might. Now, your heroes might not be comic book characters. They might be an Ash Barty, a Hugh Jackman, or a charming politician who promises to fix everything. But we look to them to show us the way. We look to them to give us hope. We look to them to represent the best of us. But can they really save you? Not just from the darkness around us, but also from the darkness within us. That instinct, as I said earlier, to actively oppose God and set yourself as the one who calls the shots. If the Green Lantern oath says, let those who worship evil smite, beware my power, Green Lantern's light, the gospel says, let those who worship evil smite, behold my God's weakness, the one true light. We sang earlier in one of the hymns, he knows our need to our weakness. He is no stranger. And this is how God responds to our darkness. Not, first of all, with judgment, but with his presence. He enters into our deepest pain. He enters into our unspoken confusion, grief, and sorrow, and says, I'm here with you. I'm here for you. In Jesus' birth, we have a God who is present with the wounded. In Jesus' birth, we have a God who is present with the fearful and those who mourn. A God who is present with those who long for not just a better world, but for a changed heart. Let's read that again. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The question to you is, brothers and sisters, what will you do with this light? The baby whose birth we celebrate at Christmas didn't stay a baby. Jesus continues to challenge us today. Note how John writes, the light shines in present tense. The light still shines in our dark world today. And here's the challenge later in the Gospel of John. He writes, light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. In other words, the light exposes before it heals. Jesus reveals what is wrong with us and in the world, not to shame us, but to save us. Imagine you have a very bad toothache, and after delaying to see the dentist for months and months, you're finally got an appointment and finally seated, and imagine telling the dentist, "Doc, listen, I want you to get rid of my pain, but under one condition, I'm not going to open my mouth." But that's how a lot of people deal with Jesus. You must come to him. You must let him expose what is wrong with us and let him heal and save us. Can I also remind you that the darkness can and will resist the light, but it cannot defeat it. In fact, John hints at it at the phrase, "The darkness has not overcome it." The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Notice the tense. The darkness tried hard to overcome it. The darkness killed the light for 3 days, and it failed. The light shines, the darkness has not overcome it. The winner is clear. Light wins. If you keep resisting the light, you are fighting a losing battle. You are choosing a path that cannot ultimately lead to life. I spoke earlier about all of us at one point was the youngest person in history. Have you noticed that we only celebrate birthdays of a living person? We don't celebrate a dead person's birthday. I mean, my mom passed away sometime last year. We don't celebrate her birthday anymore. Yes, we might commemorate their birthday, but why celebrate if they are dead? If you think of the major religions, all its founders are buried somewhere or their ashes scattered somewhere. Christianity is the only religion with an empty tomb. Every time we celebrate his birth, we are celebrating the light that shines through the life of Jesus, the teaching of Jesus, the miracles of Jesus, the death, resurrection, and ascension, and his promised return. So this Christmas, if your house isn't clean, it's still Christmas. If the food and dessert are not yet made, it's still Christmas. If there are no decorations and lights and sounds and music, it's still Christmas. If the gifts aren't purchased, it's too late already, by the way, or wrapped, it's still Christmas. But if it's not about Christ, it's not Christmas. So how to respond in closing? First, we could reject the light. Reject the light, meaning we turn away. We prefer the darkness, keep it from being exposed or healed. Or you can receive the light. Come to Jesus honestly. Ask him to shine in your darkness. Ask him to heal and save you. You can also reflect the light. Let's shine on in a dark world. Even when evil and darkness seem to be louder, more organized, more confident, let us keep shining. Ask Jesus' help to shine his light to others. Let us pray. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for bringing us together tonight in the midst of a world that often feels loud, confused, and weary. We thank you that into our darkest night you sent your Son, the true light, not with a show of force, but in the weakness of a baby in a manger. Lord, as we sing these songs, these carols, and hear your word read and preached tonight, we ask that you would open our hearts. For those here carrying burdens of grief, anger, and exhaustion, let your presence bring peace. Soften our hearts to receive the light that exposes our need and offers us healing. May everything we do tonight, every word spoken and every song sung, bring glory to the name of Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.